Hello and welcome to Talking Europe. My guest is the head of the largest political group in the EU Parliament, the centre-right European People's Party. Manfred Weber is a 20-year veteran of this assembly, and he's also a significant player in German politics through his activities in Bavaria's Christian Social Union, or CSU. He's played a notable role in Brussels in shaping climate, energy and defence policies, among others, and he may well do so again after the EU vote on June the 9th, an election in which he is currently campaigning. Mr. Weber, thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you for the invitation.
There's been a very packed plenary session at the European Parliament this Wednesday. There was a general discussion about Russia and the results of the election, but there's also been a lot of talk about the so-called Russiagate affair. What's the latest you can tell us on that? Has there been influence buying here on behalf of the Kremlin?
Well, we see what the intelligence services of the countries, Czech Republic and Belgium, are telling us, and there is worrying infos what we get there. You know, we are living in a free and open and democratic society, so that makes us also, on the other hand, vulnerable, that autocratic dictatorships like Russia can attack us in this way. So the most important thing is that we have full transparency, that journalists are doing their job, that the investigations are properly going on. That's why we have to have full transparency. And as an institution, we have to do our best to make clear that no money is involved.
Are you saying you'd be in favour of some kind of measures if one of your colleagues is found to have been paid by this, let's say, pro-Kremlin media in question?
Absolutely, that must be judged. But at the end, it's also judgment by the voters. So everybody must see the true face of all these kind of right extreme parties. It's in France, the right extreme party. In Germany, AfD politicians were involved. So you see the true face. It's about the Putin's puppets who are doing here the job. And that's why we have to tell people, don't vote for them. Please vote for the Democratic Center.
Let's talk about the Migration and Asylum Pact, which has been a hot issue again here in the Parliament these last few days. Your party's manifesto actually wants to go further than this current pact, and you want to have asylum applicants being processed in third countries. This idea has been compared to the UK's controversial Rwanda scheme. Is that a fair comparison?
Well, it is an answer to the challenges of today. We stick, first of all, to the basic things. Asylum as a huge value, as an idea of European Union, we have to keep it. And also the question of Geneva Convention, so to help those who are fleeing from war. Both things must be secured. But it's not, let me say, an obligation that as a refugee you can choose the country you want to live in. It also can be an external country. It can also be distributed among the European countries. So you get security, but it's not agreed where you get the security. That's why to do it externally in the European Union or outside of the European Union is also one of the options on the table.
But your colleagues here in the Parliament say that it actually goes against the text of the Asylum and Migration Pact as it stands.
Well, that's up to be decided then from judges. I tell you that for example, Italy is doing with Albania, that you do the processing, the procedure then outside of the European Union is, from our understanding, part of the asylum package. But let me be clear, what we have to do is to lower the numbers, because everywhere, all over Europe, the numbers are too high, and the numbers especially of illegal migrants is much too high, because, again, we are in favour of asylum, we are in favour of Geneva Convention, but more than 50% of people arriving in Europe are not in this category. They are simply illegal migrants, and they have to be refused. They must leave European territory. And that is what people all over Europe are expecting from us. We are not radical as a right extreme who don't accept any kind of foreigner anymore. We need foreigners, especially for the working places. And we are not naive like the left is to open the door for everyone. So we are the center-right and we are the balanced approach to welcome those who really need our help, but to fight against illegal migration.
I just want to read you one thing that one of your colleagues here wrote about your asylum plan. She said it's an unsavory EPP chunk of red meat to far-right voters that will only make the far-right bigger. And if we look at the polls, for example, Europe Elect polls from March, the projections are quite strong for Identity and Democracy, plus 9 points. That includes the German AfD, of course. So does she have a point on that?
I tell you, if we don't solve the problem, then people will vote for extremists. And if the Greens are refusing to take over responsibility in this European Parliament, to vote in favor of a compromise where 25 countries, all democratic parties in the center, are in favor, there is a pact which is on the table. If Greens refuse to agree on such a broad consensus in Europe, then they support the right extreme in Europe. That's why we are responsible and we try to find solutions.
Manfred Weber, so the Europelex polls that I mentioned have a particularly big projected rise for the European Conservatives and Reformists, or ECR, according to those polls, plus 19 points. So this has fueled speculation that you might do some kind of tie-up with the ECR. Is that something you're considering actively?
You will not be surprised that in the beginning of an election campaign, we as politicians are arguing for ourselves. So we have the EPP. I'm representing the biggest party of Europe. And I'm quite comfortable in my starting point for the campaign because we won nearly all national elections in the last years. I took over as president of the EPP with only 7 prime ministers. Today we have 13 prime ministers in our ranks. Socialists only have 4, liberals under the lead of Macron have 5. EPP has 13 in this moment of time. The latest success was Donald Tusk in Poland. He was beating my predecessor as EPP president, is now prime minister of Poland, beating PiS. So that's why we have a good support among citizens. That's why center-right is coming back and our approach of building bridges is coming back in Europe.
So building bridges with parts of the ECR or with the whole of them? Because it would be quite difficult to include all of them in an alliance, wouldn't it?
Well, my party is with Adenauer, Schumann, De Gasperi, the founding party of Europe. Christian Democrats built up this Europe. That's why we will be the center of the European development in the next 5 years. And we will work together with all those who respect our red lines. And this means you have to be pro-European to work with us. You have to be pro-Ukraine in this moment of time because they fight our fight for freedom and democracy. And you have to be pro-rule of law.
But on Ukraine, there are differences, obviously, between, for example, Reconquête in the ECR and, let's say, Czech members of the ECR.
Well, I'm president of the EPP,
yeah,
of the European People's Party.
I'm saying if we're talking about an alliance.
And you are right, you are right. The centre-right camp is clear on this. But we have on the extreme side some quite big splits. Huh? Also Viktor Orban. I kicked Viktor Orban out of the EPP party and the group. Mm-hmm. Huh? We did so because it was enough. It was enough. He was breaching the red lines.
Since Fidesz was kicked out, though, that party has held talks with Giorgia Meloni, the Italian prime minister. Does that make you a bit uncomfortable?
Well, I don't see bigger links there. What I see is that EPP is winning elections, and I think people must be aware if you vote for populistic parties in Europe, then you vote for those who are not capable to achieve anything on European level. You know, I also, as an EPP politician, can never deliver 100% about what people expect me to do because Europe is complex, Europe is big, we have to find a compromise. Achieve something, and that is what Europe needs.
Do you see the Italian Prime Minister as a possible queen maker on the right, perhaps, after this election?
The Italian Prime Minister is elected by the Italian citizens and she is respected by this. She works with Macron, with Scholz, with Donald Tusk to achieve something. And we are in government there together with her. What I have to do is to talk now about the next years. And I tell you, there are 2 main subjects which EPP is fighting for. One is we have to keep the economic strength of this continent. We are losing currently on the markets, on the car market, for example, to the Chinese. And the second thing is we have to keep peace, at least inside of European Union. That's why a defense pillar, to build up a strong European defense community, are the 2 big promises we give to the citizens.
Speaking of European defense and peace, when President Macron has repeated that he might send French troops to Ukraine, what do you think of that?
I think that was not wise to do so, because that was splitting up the West. Stoltenberg immediately had the need to clarify that we don't send troops, we will not be part of the active war. And the same did the German Chancellor with the idea to not send the Taurus missiles from Germany to Ukraine. He was splitting up his own Berlin government, he was splitting up German society, he was splitting up the European Union. Both leaders, Paris and Berlin, are currently dividing and not unifying, and that's not good for Europe. We as EPP, with Donald Tusk in the lead, for example, are trying to unify, to keep the West together, and that is so urgently needed to beat and to fight against Putin.
Manfred Weber, I do want to ask you one thing about your party's candidate in this election, Ursula von der Leyen, who's the president of the European Commission. There's been some controversy in the European Commission recently. The so-called Pipagate affair. This centres on allegations that there may have been nepotism in the way somebody was hired for a senior post at the European Commission. Does your party expect transparency on this issue?
Full transparency and the college, so the commission must discuss all the points, so all procedures must be legally sound. I have no doubt that these procedures were legally okay, so that's a starting point.
Because some of her colleagues don't seem so sure about that in the college.
But that's up to an investigation, to a talk on the college side. Let's discuss it in the commission. Full transparency, okay. Full openness about this. But the key question is more about what subjects do we discuss during the election campaign. And I tell you, it's about politics. It's about the future of Europe. And I would invite Thierry Breton, I would invite all the commissioners to come forward with future ideas about what do we want to achieve. That should be the base of our electoral debate. And Ursula von der Leyen had in the last 5 years a great record to keep Europe together on the pandemic, on the corona side, also in the fight against Putin. Europe is united, and this is the heritage of Ursula von der Leyen.
Should she go on the media, though, to talk about this? Because it is relevant to voters, the whole question of transparency in Europe.
Absolutely. Ursula von der Leyen will be ready to answer all the questions during campaign. And I tell you, we nominated in a transparent way, in a democratic way, our candidate. So now it's up to the voters to judge about this. We want to have a lively political discussion about the future of Europe. I tell you, my problem is that Macron is representing the Renew team in Europe, so the liberal team in Europe, and there we don't have a candidate. We even don't have a person who is speaking on behalf of Renew in this moment of time. We as EPP, we present Ursula von der Leyen. We are ready for campaigning, for showing transparency and show up with our ideas. Renew is not doing so. Macron is not doing so. So that's why I stand in favor of a democratic Europe where we have candidates, where we have a program, where we have a lively debate about the future. And I would love to see from the Liberals the same.
Thank you so much, Manfred Weber. We'll leave it there, head of the EPP here in the European Parliament. That's all for this part of Talking Europe. Thanks for watching.